Michael Hebb is the co-founder of Death Over Dinner. It's inspired by his experience with his own father and countless stories from others who regret not having had these conversations. It's an organisation that encourages people to pull up a chair, break bread, and really talk about the one thing that, let's face it, we all have in common, unless you're immortal, and that is death. Fast forward 5 years and over 200,000 dinners have been organised all over the world. That's a lot of discussion about death. And Michael Hebb has now penned a book. It's called The Essential Guide to Life's Most Important Conversation. Let's talk about death over dinner. And Michael joins us from New York. Hello there, Michael.
Hey, great to be on.
Thank you. Now, we just mentioned there, inspired by your experience with your own father. What happened, Michael?
Well, my father was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, tragically, when I was in second grade. And he was quite a bit older when I was born. He was actually 72 when I was born.
Oh.
If you can imagine that.
Yeah, wow. That is old.
Yeah. I know. We could have a whole show just on that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, we didn't, as a family, really know how to discuss his terminal illness, the disease that he was struggling with, or his impending demise. And so it became a kind of shameful conversation in our family, just an awkward, repressed one.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't end up spending, or nor did my brother, quite frankly, my mother, very much time with him in his last few years. And the thing with Alzheimer's is there's moments of great clarity. And so I really regret not having an opportunity to get to know my father better as a young kid. And so I carry that into this work. And much later in life, realized if I could hopefully have an impact around these conversations.
Well, it must be a great motivator if you've got something that you carry with you, and I guess regret can be a motivator in this way. Tell us about how Death Over Dinner works. How do you encourage people to go about it?
Yeah, well, the site itself is, so it's a website, deathoverdinner.org and deathoverdinner.org.au. And we built a completely fresh Australian version, an edition of the project, with an incredible group of medical leaders in Australia who invited us to come out and create this project specifically for you.
Why is that, Michael? So, is our death somewhat different to your death in New York?
Well, it is a land of no experts. But, so I can't tell you, you know, how it feels to die in Australia differently than it does in the U.S. But, you know, you do have, it is a different culture. There are different resources. We have different homework for cast, reframe the questions a little bit. So every place we do it, every place we create a new platform, we go through a long cultural process of thinking about how to best reach people. And the Australian Centre for Health Research and Deakin University were incredible partners. But to answer your question, it's very simple. You go to the website. It asks you why you might want to have a question, you know, conversation or dinner about death. Maybe you've just lost somebody, or somebody you know is terminal, or maybe you yourself are terminal. And from that information, it creates a script for your evening, almost like a board game. And so you don't. There's no second guessing. What should we do now? And they're not dreadful, morbid evenings. They're actually quite enlightening and often funny, sometimes sad at points, but very meaningful.
Well, I've just been going through the script here on the website as you've been speaking, and it is interesting, Michael, because it's all laid out for you there, as you mentioned. Who would you like to invite? Would it be co-workers? Would it be grandparents? Would it be family? Would it be friends? And then you go through and say, well, what are the primary reasons that you want to have the dinner? As you said, do you have a terminal illness or someone you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then you are asked your intention. Why do you want to have this? Something a little bit more deeper. I clicked on, I am interested in this for philosophical or spiritual reasons. And then the next site I go to, it says, please choose a short piece for you and your guests to watch, listen to, and read before coming together at dinner. and links will be sent to your dinner prep email. So it is quite interesting. I'm clicking here. The 9 things no one tells you about scattering ashes.
Yeah.
I think it's probably to stay upwind would be one, wouldn't it?
And where it's legal to do it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just dump them in any old lake.
So you, as you say, you provide a script, but you also provide things for people to watch together.
Yeah. Well, it's important. The thing is, we've become what I call death illiterate. As we've medicalized and separated ourselves from death, which is not a bad thing in all cases. It's not like being around bodies all the time is glorious. But there is a loss of encountering or confronting our mortality as we've medicalized death. And so this is a way to reintroduce it so that we can get more comfortable, become more fluent, and because we have to make these decisions at some point.
And
we are going to lose people that we love.
Do you think it's just technology that has moved us away from these sorts of conversations? Is it cultural as well? I mean, I guess, you know, hundreds of years ago we'd live in small villages and the death would be around us and we'd be very close to it. But we are quite often removed from that moment of death so often too.
Yeah, we're removed from the actual encounter with somebody dying or seeing a dead body. It's not that common for people to see a dead body. I mean, even in warfare, we use drones. There's a disconnection from lives ending. And there's also a disconnection from families sitting together and having important conversation. In America, 20% of meals are eaten in the car. And so you have less opportunity for meaningful conversation, less opportunity to face or talk about death. And so in the end result, we get kind of paralyzed when we're in the ICU. And, I mean, doctors aren't good about it either. That's the other thing. It's not like doctors have been doing a great deal of work on being comfortable with this topic. And so if they're not comfortable and we're not comfortable, like, what kind of decisions are going to get made?
This is such a fascinating approach that you have here. I like the idea that you choose your guests and you send them all out homework to look at before they get there, so everyone can dive into the real nitty-gritty straight away. There's not any sort of small talk. You just get right into it. I imagine that's what happens.
Yeah, well, every dinner starts with honoring a loved one who's no longer with us. And that seems like a simple exercise, lighting a candle or raising a glass. But it really changes immediately. You can go from a very surface, you know, you just had your day at work, to being in a very deep and meaningful place within 5 minutes.
Right. Michael Hebb is with us this morning. He's the founder of deathoverdinner.org. If you're near a computer, actually, go and have a little look and tell us what you think about it. And we've had a call this morning. Penny Hackett has phoned in. She is the president of Dying with Dignity in New South Wales. Morning, Penny.
Oh, good morning. Now, I can't tell you how important these initiatives are, because the most important thing that you can do is talk to your family openly about it. So our group, while we are involved in advocacy for voluntary assisted dying laws, we also want to cover the range of advanced care directives, futile care, a patient's right to refuse treatment and that sort of thing. And my dad died 3 weeks ago.
Oh,
and
I'm so sorry we to
had,
hear that.
Yeah. Look, it was actually a very profoundly peaceful and quite a beautiful family event, because we were all there, we talked about it, we knew his wishes, the nursing home was great, and I know a lot of people have very distressing experiences at this time, and a lot of that can be ameliorated by talking openly and being frank about what's going on. So I really encourage these initiatives. They're fantastic.
You know, you do bring up my own father's death, which was about 10 years ago, but he was a doctor, and when he was diagnosed with a very aggressive pancreatic cancer, and he knew he didn't have very long to live, he ironically enough removed himself from the hospital system pretty quickly. He had a nurse come in to help him in the bed, but he set up a hospital bed basically in his bedroom, and we stood around as a family and we watched him go, and it was an incredibly It was incredibly moving, obviously, but it was an incredibly privileged thing to watch somebody's life. To watch a person leave their last breath, I guess, is such a profound thing. And it does make you realise that we don't have very much contact with it. You know, it's just not often spoken about.
Thank you very much for that, Penny.
Yeah, that's no problem. Thanks. You for covering it.
Thanks,
and,
Penny.
Of course, Michael, we're with Michael Hebb. He's the founder of deathoverdinner.org and a new site, .org.au. Michael, of course, I've got friends who are Italian and they have the cultural practice, of course, of having the body in the front room for five days or so as everyone comes and goes. Would you go as far as thinking that we should perhaps all embrace that idea?
I'm not going to write that prescription. you know, what I think we need to do, well, it's called a memento mori, right, traditionally, things that remind us that we're mortal. And so I think that we have the opportunity to be creative about what that looks like for us. And so, you know, 5 days, a reintroduction of a body to a living room might not be the best way. A beautiful dinner is one. Or there's death cafes. There's card games. There's all kinds of things now you can still get the same medicine and, from a different experience.
And Michael, can I ask you personally, you were talking about that great regret you had with your own dad and not having broached these topics earlier on. Do you feel like with all of this, I guess this momentum that you've been a part of, the 200,000 of these dinners, the millions of conversations that it started, do you feel like out of that regret has come something pretty great?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I mean, some people like to say that our greatest gifts are in the middle of our greatest wounds, and certainly that has been the case with this.
Yeah.
What a tremendous thing. I think of my father as my teacher in many ways, and even the ways where he was absent. I dedicate every dinner that I create in the book itself to him. So certainly I've learned a lot from it.
All right. Well, the book is called Let's Talk About Death Over Dinner. It is the essential guide to life's most important conversation. It's by Michael Hebb, who's been speaking with us from New York.
But if you want to organise a dinner of your own, you just go on the website, as I've been experiencing it as we've been speaking, and it looks really attractive. There's no, you know, skulls and crossbones or anything like that.
We tried to make it very pretty. And we need to make a quick shout out to my co-founder in Australia, Rebecca Bartel, and the great folks at Deakin University. You have incredible leaders in your country.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Thank you so much,
and Michael. You go there and you see lovely floral crockery and flowers and glasses. And yeah, it looks pretty inviting, I must say. Good on you, Michael. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me. I hope you enjoy the book.